is a common misconception that if you're spiritually mature, that you will not struggle with following God's will and God's calling for your life. But Jesus' actions in this passage teach us that this belief is not so. Jesus' last moments before he went to the cross were spent in a place called Gethsemane. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. And it says there that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And here we see Jesus in a place called Gethsemane. And that Greek word means oil press. And this garden was used to press the olive grown on the mountain into olive oil. And this garden is an image, it's a symbol for the pressure that Jesus felt as he faced the call of God to die on the cross for humanity. Often, friends, the call of God is not easy. Obeying the will of God often is not easy. And we're going to need God's grace. And we're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit in obeying his will. In Gethsemane, we see that Jesus did one thing and one thing only. And that was that he prayed. He prayed persistently three times. And each prayer was a step towards letting go of the things that could stop him from obeying God's will. You see, there are things in your life that if we don't let go of them, they will prevent us from obeying the will of God in our lives. We all, friends, will face Gethsemane at one point, as we do in this life, especially in the times that we live in. We feel intense pressure to obey and surrender God's will for our lives. Now tonight, I want us to look at the prayers, because in this passage, Jesus prayed three prayers. How many? Three prayers. And these prayers would allow us to let go of the things that we need to give up and then take a hold of the things that we need to take a hold of. The first prayer that he prayed is what I call a prayer of awareness. A prayer of awareness. Look at it in verse 36 and 38. It says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" You see, the thing is this. God's will does not always feel good to the flesh. The flesh really does not want to submit to the will of God for our lives. But the prayer of awareness is a prayer of expression. It's a prayer of what? Expression. There is an expression of feelings there. It is an expression of grief. It is an expression where he's feeling the full impact of the call of God in his life. You see, Jesus knew what was ahead of him. And as he looked into the cup that he was about to drink, he was overcome with sorrow. He was overcome with despair. I have heard some preachers saying that Jesus was looking forward to the cross. Absolutely not. Jesus was not looking forward to the cross. Jesus did not want to die on the cross. Jesus was overwhelmed emotionally and spiritually. But what he experienced as he entered the Garden of Gethsemane that night. And this is the same way in which you and I enter the garden. Jesus entered it through betrayal. Jesus went into the garden through disappointment. Jesus went into the garden feeling very lonely, loneliness, loss, hopelessness, despair. There are seasons in the life, even in the life of a man and a woman of God, that we will enter the Garden of Gethsemane. But friend, if I want to give you an advice, is this. Don't go into intense times of pressure alone. Let me repeat that again. Don't go into times of intense pressure alone. Here Jesus is modeling something for us. And it's this. In his most difficult day, in his most difficult hour, in a time of intense pressure and sorrow in his life, Jesus gathered friends to stay and pray with him. It says there that he took Peter, James, and John with him. What about us? What do we do when we go through pressure? What do we do when trials and fire and storms come our way? Do we look for the company and the support of loved ones? Or do we tend to withdraw? Friend, don't go into times of intense pressure alone. Let me say that again. This is a time when you need the most to be in church. This is a time when you need to identify with someone. You need to look for a few people. It might not be many. You don't need many. Jesus is not calling the 12. He only called 3. You need to look for a few people to be alongside you in the garden. The time of your deepest sorrow and pressure. In verse 40 and 41, it says that he came to the disciples and found them what? Praying. Found them sleeping. And said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because here is the problem. The spirit is willing. Your spirit wants to pray. Your spirit wants to seek God. But the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to sleep. The flesh wants to snore while the enemy is having rampant in your life. And when you need them the most, those closest to you will sometimes disappoint you if they haven't packed a lunch because it's coming. And what do? When those that we are trusting disappoint us. When those that are supposed to be there praying for us and being a lending hand to us are nowhere to be found. But maybe they're going through a Gethsemane of their own. Maybe they're going through a time of trial and suffering and tribulation themselves. You see, don't miss what is happening here. I believe that deep in their heart, Peter, James, and John wanted to pray. But I believe that they were consumed with their own grief at the time. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that Jesus had already told them that he is about to be betrayed into the hands of man, and he's going to die and he's going to leave them. Now, don't miss this. This is the man that they have lived with for 3 years. This is the man that have given him a chance and an opportunity in life. They love Jesus. They saw Jesus doing signs and wonders and miracles. They heard his preachings. They ate with him. They walked through the streets of Israel through him. They love Jesus. And I believe that they were going through their own Gethsemane at the time. They already know that Jesus will leave them soon. And he was close to their hearts. And they were dealing with their own grief of having their teacher, their savior, their healer, their best friend leaving them soon. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes people are not there for us, not because they don't want to be there for you. Sometimes people are dealing with their own grief. Oh, but we are so quick to judge. We are so quick to give up on people. We are so quick to speak out of grief and hurt and offense. But have you stopped to think for a minute that maybe that brother, that sister that you are judging is going through their own time of grief and sorrow? But for whatever reason, don't give up on people. Pursue them. Often, they might want to be there for you. But if you isolate yourself to them, if you close the doors of your heart on them, if you don't answer their phone calls, if you don't answer the text messages, how can they be there for you? Jesus did not give up on his friends. Jesus continued to pursue Peter, James, and John, even after they failed him again and again. Jesus continued to give them the opportunity to comfort him and to pray for him. Jesus does not give up ever on people. Thank God that he never ever gave up on me, because I wouldn't be here tonight. So why is it that we want to be giving up on people all the time? He continued to give them the opportunity to comfort him and to pray for him. You see, this is something that Jesus is teaching us. And it's this: the unity of spirit and fellowship with his disciples are very, very important to Jesus. Jesus will never ever move in a place where there is no unity. Jesus will never ever move among a people that do not welcome him. That's why times of praise and worship are so, so very important. Because through times of praise and worship, worship is the only means that we have to let Jesus know that we love him, that we want him, and that we cannot wait to be with him. And unity and fellowship with his people are very important to Jesus. Jesus will never move in a place where he's not wanted. Jesus will never move in a place where there is no unity. In John chapter 17, verse 22, it says that the glory which you gave given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are. You know what this is telling me? That every time that Jesus manifests his glory in church is not for us to have a hallelujah party. But the manifestations of the glory of God are to convict us to unity. Every time that God manifests his glory in church, basically he's saying, I am letting you know what I am, who I am, and how I think, so that you will love one another in the same way that I love you. So that you will walk in the same unity that me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. Unity is very important to Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that prayers and encouraging words of friends and loved ones help us. We all need encouragement. We all need to know that when we're walking through a time of sorrow and tribulation, that we are not alone. That there are people that are praying for us. That there are people calling us and ask us, how are you doing? Do you need anything? We all need that. We all need prayers and words of encouragement. But let's accept one fact tonight. And that is this. Sometimes, or I might say, often, we cannot always depend on people. Sometimes we cannot always depend on the prayers of people. We cannot always depend on the encouragement of people. And suppose that Jesus had depended on that. What would he have done that night? He would have never made it through. But ultimately, Jesus depended in his intimacy and relationship with the Father. He depended on intimate prayer and God. Jesus did not fall apart and quit coming to church simply because his friends, his best friends were not there for him. Also notice something else about Jesus. And it's this. during his worst time of sorrow, during a time of intense pressure in his life, Jesus is showing honesty and openness. And how much do we need to learn that, especially Christians? He's showing honesty and openness, first of all, with his disciples. In verse 30, he says to them, very open, no pretend. Oh, I'm Pastor Jesus, so therefore I have to pretend before my people that I have it all together all the time. No pretend. Pastor Jesus goes to his disciples and says, my soul is exceedingly sorrow. You couldn't watch with me 1 hour. Jesus is very honest with his people. Very open about his feelings and about what he's going through. And he's also being very open with God in prayer. Look at it in verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, Jesus is complaining to God. There's some people that say, never complain to God, because when you complain to God, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus complained to God. That's exactly what he's doing there. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't want to obey your will, Father. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What is Jesus teaching us as we go through times of trials and tribulation? Because we all do. Clearly, Jesus is telling me this. Don't pretend. When you're going through a time of intense suffering, don't pretend. When you come to church and people ask you how you're doing, don't say, glory to God, I'm in victory. Don't pretend. Don't bottle up your emotions during times of sorrow. It doesn't help to pretend. That's what he's saying. Nor does it make you more spiritual to hide your emotions. If Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnated in the body of a man, is not hiding his emotions during an intense time of pressure, why should you and I should hide it? Nor does it make you more spiritual to hide your emotions. For some reason, some Christians believe that the moment that you surrender your life to Christ, you stop being a human. You stop having emotions. No, you're not. You're still a human. God wants you to be a human. The only difference is that now we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now we can bring our emotions to him and allow him to strengthen us and heal us from our emotions. But we need to be honest with God in prayer. Be honest. When you don't feel like doing something, go to your Father and say, Father, I know you are asking me to do this, but I don't feel like doing this. I do this with God all the time, and it feels so good. It feels so good. Father, I don't feel like praying today. Father, I feel like giving up. Father, if you don't do something here, I don't know, but I'm going to make it another day. Be honest with God in prayer. He wants you to be honest with him in prayer. Be honest with the people that are close to you. Now, I'm not suggesting for you to walk around and open your heart and spill all your private, intimate things to everybody. That would be foolish. That would be foolish. You want to get slaughtered? Just share your intimacy with everybody, especially with the spiritual immature Christians. But those people that are proven to you, those people that you know they love you, those people that have been next to you in high water during down times and up times, people that you have loved for a long time, people that are of good testimony, people that have a godly character, be honest with them. Share your feelings. Don't pretend. God does not want us to pretend. And at the same time, Jesus is teaching us something else here. And it's this. We need to love people, and we need to be compassionate to allow those that are going through sorrow to express their grief openly to us. Church ought to be a place of refuge. Church ought to be a place where people find comfort, where people find hope. Church should not be a place where we push people to pretend and wear a mask. We need to love people. To the point, we need to allow Jesus to form his compassion in us to the point that when those that are going through grief, They won't feel that they have to pretend. They feel openness. They feel honesty. They feel love in our church to say, sister, pray for me. Brother, pray for me because I feel this way, because I'm going through this, because I don't think that I can make it another day. As a pastor, I tell you, being a pastor can be a very lonely place many times. Because people think that because we are anointed of the Holy Spirit and we preach the Word of God, we don't go through our own trials. We don't have our own battles. Many times we fight even bigger battles than you do. We have our own trials. We go to the Garden of Gethsemane very, very, very often. And I tell you, sadly, it's very, very hard to find those that you can be open with and say, pray for me. Pray for me, because I'm going through this. We don't always have to say something, church. When someone opened their hearts to us and shared something, why is it that we always want to quote Isaiah and Jeremiah and John and Matthew and Revelation? When someone opens their heart to us because they're going through their own Gethsemane, we don't always have to say something. We don't always need to quote scriptures. Often what people need is just our presence. Knowing that there is someone there for them that is willing to hear them, that is willing to believe God for them, that is willing to pray for them no matter what. Can you and I be that kind of person to those around us? So we see the prayer of awareness, and then we see the prayer of surrender. In verse 42, he says, again, a second time. So here's Jesus praying a second time. He went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done. Many times, we need to face our choices. Jesus did not want to die on the cross. Are we learning that tonight? Jesus did not want to go to the cross. And that was his human experience, because one of the mysteries of Jesus Christ is that he is all God, but he's also all human. And in his humanity, he did not want to die on the cross. His human nature that night cried, save me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. Don't deliver me into the hands of these wicked people. Let me live life. Let me enjoy life. Let me have another year. Let me have another 10 years. In his humanity, Jesus cried that night. And there's nothing abnormal about that. No young man wants to die. No normal human being wants to face disappointment or pain in this life. Anyone here that loves pain and disappointment? All human beings, at least normal, have the desire to fulfill life through happiness and pleasure rather than pain and sacrifice. But often, friends, the will of God entails making hard choices. Often, the will of God comes with sacrifices. And then what do we do then? What do we do when God is asking us to do something that everything within us does not want to do? Has anyone been there, or am I the only one that has been there? What do we do? And I tell you one thing that has worked for me in addition to prayer. And that is, we must face our choices. Jesus faced two choices that night. If he saved his life, and he could have saved it, because he's God Almighty, all he had to do was say, forget this, I'm not going to die for this bunch of sinners. Let me go home in glory and let them deal with their own problem. But thank God that in his grace, he didn't choose that. He didn't choose that. So he could have saved his life. But all of us would have been lost. Doomed to hell forever. And then he had another choice. If he gives life, if he submits to the will of God and the call of God for his life, he will save us. And he would receive the glory of the Father in heaven. You see, many times, I want you to write this down. Surrender happens when we realize the negative consequences of not obeying God. One of the main problems with a lot of people nowadays is that they don't think about the consequences of their actions. But every action has a consequence. And yes, God is graceful, and yes, God is merciful. And when we repent from a mistake, and when we repent from a sin, He forgives us. But He hardly ever spares us from the consequences. So surrender happens when we realize the negative consequences of not obeying God. Not obeying God will have negative consequences. I love something that Martin Luther King said. Martin Luther King said this: we must learn to make the transition from "let this cup pass from me" to "nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And church, this is the true test of our faith. This is what really determines if you go through life giving glory to God, or if you go through life following your own desires, your own wants, which eventually are going to lead you to death. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, the word of God says this: whoever sows to please their flesh, momentarily you will enjoy it and you will have fun. But from flesh, look at what it will reap: destruction. When you live to please your flesh, you will bring destruction into your family. You will bring destruction into your marriage. You will bring destruction into your own health. You will bring destruction into your church. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, it might not be easy. Sometimes the flesh is not going to feel like doing this. It's going to come sometimes with sacrifices. It's going to be difficult. But look at the promise that He's giving us there. When you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, you will reap an eternal life. You see, here we see that eventually the Father's will became Jesus' will. I have a question for you tonight. Is the will of God your will? Or is still your will and the will of God are two separate things? Because the Father's will became Jesus' will. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father today in glory and in victory, because that night He was able to make that transition from "let this cup pass from me" to "not my will, but your will be done." At times, as Christians, we go through times of intense pressure as we face the will of God, as we face the call of God in our life. Especially nowadays, it's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy to live in a way that honors God. But glory and victory will follow our Garden of Gethsemane when we surrender to His will. When we surrender to the call of God in our lives, rather than doing our way. And lastly, the third prayer that Jesus prayed is a prayer of courage. It's a prayer of courage. Verse 44 and 45, He says, "So He left them." He went away. "And He prayed the third time, saying the same words." So He left them. He went away. "And He prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then He came to His disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting?'" This is funny. Jesus is agonizing all this time, and all this time they're just snoring. "Behold, the hour is at hand. Wake up, church. Wake up, Christian. The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Church, it's going to take courage to stand and obey the will of God for our lives. I always say this, and pardon me the expression: Christianity is not for wimpies. Wimpies and cowards will never ever make it to the kingdom of heaven. Christianity is for courageous people. It's for people that are willing, that are able to trust God no matter what. And even when they were to the walls of the world, they say, "I will not give up because God said it and I believe that He's going to do it." Jesus was facing a work that will take great courage, especially considering the fact that he knew exactly what would happen to me, him. And how did Jesus find courage to move on and obey the will of the Father for his life? In verse 45, it says that he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. There are times that in order to fulfill your destiny, you are going to have to leave behind those that do not understand what God is doing, what God is calling you to do. You're going to have to leave them behind. Lock yourself away and go to the secret place. You alone with the Father in prayer. You see, every time that you get caught up in people's opinion, your courage will disappear. There is something about crowds. Something about crowds that sows fears in the heart of people. In my own life, whenever I have had to face big challenges in my life, many times I have had to walk away from people. From those that do not understand what God is doing, what God is calling us to do. And hide myself in the secret place of the Most High. Pray to my Father. Speak to my Father. And as I hear the words of my Father, that's when boldness and courage comes to my heart to be able to do what God is asking me to do. You see, it is through intimate and persistent prayer that fear is conquered and courage is attained. Let me repeat that again. It is through intimate and persistent prayer that fear is conquered and courage is attained. Courage is not found by relying on human strength. When you face a challenge in life, whatever that challenge, I know that many of us here tonight are facing challenges. And whenever you face a challenge as big as the one that Jesus had to face that night, there is no human strength that can handle it. There is no other place. There is no one that you can go to that is going to give you the courage and the strength that you need in order to move forward. One of my favorite scriptures is in Joshua chapter 1. I've been meditating on the book of Joshua lately a lot, especially chapter 1. And in verse 9, we read this. God spoke to Joshua. Moses had already died, disappeared from the face of the earth, to the point that even to this day, nobody knows where God hid his body. So Joshua had already died. And here is Joshua, the successor, now getting ready to assume the same role, the same leadership that Moses had for years. And this is what God speaks to Joshua in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. You're going to have to be strong to receive all the blessings that God has for you. In order to make it to heaven, you have no choice, but we're going to have to be strong and we're going to have to be courageous in the midst of trials. Do not be afraid, he said to Joshua, nor be dismayed. And this is the promise. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the principle. Courage will come to your heart when you have the assurance that God is with you. When you know that you're not alone, but that your Father is there to defend you, to protect you, to heal you, and to provide, there is a boldness that arises within you that enables you to be the man or the woman that you never thought you were able to be. I remember before I was a Christian, I was a coward. I had many phobias. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of heights. I was afraid of driving. I had so many phobias until I learned. learned that I'm not alone, but my Father is with me, and He's watching every step along the way. His hand is upon me to protect me and to guard me from evil. And the day that I realized that, the day that I became aware of the presence, of the constant presence of God in my life. Are you aware that God is with you all the way? Are you aware that the presence of God is with you everywhere you go? In every time, in every moment, in every season, in every circumstance, you are not alone, but the presence of God is with you. Do you know that? That's when boldness comes to the human heart. Joshua had to face a huge challenge. Think about this. Moses has just died. And the Israelites had been under the leadership of Moses for 40 years. They trusted Moses. They loved Moses. They depended on Moses. And now Moses is gone. These people are mourning Moses. They are broken. They are missing Moses. And it's under this condition that God asked Joshua, the new leader, to do something almost impossible. God asked Joshua to take a whole bunch of mourning, broken, depressed Jews, take them into battle, and conquer the promised land. That was a tough job to do. I pray to God that God will never ever ask me to do something like that. That was a tough job to do. It required courage. It required strength. It required confidence. And Joshua found the courage to obey God's will, God's call for his life. When he understood that he was not alone, but that God was by his side. He said, I am the Lord your God. And I am going to be with you every step along the way, Joshua. Wherever you go, in every moment, in every season, I am right there with you. And that's how he found courage to do something that humanly seemed impossible. Friends, in closing, often we are going to feel pressures in life. Maybe as I speak to some of you tonight, you are going through a season in your life where you are under intense pressure, intense sorrow. And what I'm saying to you tonight, as we see it in the life of Jesus, is that through intimate and persistent prayer, you are going to be able to travel that journey, because it's a journey. Many times getting to the point that you can obey God's will is a journey. It does not happen overnight. And in that journey, you're going to first face awareness. You're going to begin to feel within you the pain, the sorrow, or sometimes having to let go of things that perhaps at one point that were precious to you, but now they're getting in the way between you and God. And then you're going to have to ask God to give you the grace to surrender to his will. Because your flesh will never want to surrender to the will of God. Your flesh does not want to obey the word of God. Your flesh does not want to pray. Your flesh does not want to let go of sin. And we are going to need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And thirdly, you're going to need courage. You're going to have to pray for courage as you move forward in what God is doing in your life. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for your word here tonight. And Lord, I pray that as some of us are growing through a season in life where we are feeling intense pressure in our marriage, in our jobs, in our families, in our work, that tonight, as we listen to your gospel, this word will encourage our hearts, oh God. Lord, we pray that in the same way that at his worst time, at his worst hour, Jesus did not stop praying. It took it three times. Three times he went before the presence of the Father to ask for help, to ask for grace, to be able to surrender to the horrible work, the work of the cross that was ahead for him. That in the same way, as some of us are going through times of pressure and trial and sorrow, that we will not groan to anyone. Because in the same way that Jesus' friends were not there for him that night, in the same way sometimes even those that are close to us and loved ones might not always be there for us, to pray for us, to support us, and to encourage us. But Lord, that during those times we will not give up. That we will continue to persist and persevere in prayer. That we will continue to seek your strength and your guidance in your presence, oh God. And Lord, that we will understand that in the midst of the pressure, the right thing to do always is to surrender. To surrender. Because the only way out of our Gethsemane into glory is through surrender. But thank you, Jesus, because we know that you understand us. That in our own humanity, often it's not easy to surrender to your will and to your call. But Lord, we thank you tonight because we know that there is help in you. That there is hope in your presence. And I pray that you would encourage the heart of your people here tonight. Those that are going through intense pressure. Those that are going through intense times of sorrow and tribulation. Lord, that you would encourage every heart here tonight. That they would know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they are not alone. But that you are with them. Your presence is with them. Your grace is with them. Your power is with them. To help them. To provide for their needs. Every step. Along the way. We thank you, Father.